July festival.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Yes, God is good all the time in Hebrew. Baruch Yeshua. We are not going to do the whole service in Hebrew, though. Just a little bit.
Praise Amen. God.
Amen. All right, everybody. The name of this message today is the future, right?
Amen.
Right? The future as according to the Bible. Now, I realize that God will tell me things before they happen. I remember God telling me, tell Pastor Ben that a lot of people are going to leave this church. I said, Lord, we don't have that many right now. He said, well, a lot of them going to leave. He said, because you've been operating at as a hospital, and you need to operate as a power center.
Yeah.
And so right after the Lord, he said, but then I said, well, you know, if we don't have no people, then, you know, me and Dre and Nicole and Pastor Ben going to go back to paying the rent. And he said, no, I'm going to take care of your the church financially. Don't you worry about that. So I said, okay. As soon as I came to church, people wanted to meet with me and tell me, hey, we're leaving. I was like, okay, good. The Lord already told me. It was like, Pastor Ben was like, well, you know, he was upset. I was like, no, Pastor Ben, the Lord already told me. They let all of them go because the Lord said we can't operate like that no more. Because most of the time it was like, we got to help. They need prayer for this. We got to help them with this sin. So it was like constant, like, yeah. Medicine, come back.
Yeah.
And God said, you guys are working too hard. This needs to be a power center, okay?
Yes.
Amen.
So I am completely satisfied
yes.
with the way our church is because we usually have about 12,000 people watching and about 12 people in the audience. No, sometimes more, just depends. But I was watching some regular church today.
Ooh, regular.
I'll call, because I don't call us regular church.
No, we not.
And because we said it from the beginning, right? No churches, no more church as usual. And I was watching a guy speak a message about something great God had done in his life. And I was like, well, where's he going? This is a good story. And then he said, and it was all because I was a great tither. And I was like, oh, man, he's great. Go there. So then he started talking about, you know, if you give, the Lord will give. And before I knew it, I was like, dang, I'm back in that same church again. So I said, well, I'm not going to watch this. I was trying to see, like, is there a really good church out there? Or am I being hard? Because I know you guys think, Pastor Sam, you think everybody bad. No, I don't. I think there's some good pastors out there. Pastor Joel Jones is one of them. But so I watched another one, and then it got kind of weird. So I said, okay, let me turn it off. Let me get to church. And I just say that because I know that people will make money to not tell you the truth.
Yeah.
They will lie to you if it keeps the business going.
Yep.
You know? And I know that exists now. I didn't know that Satan was completely involved in church till the last couple of weeks when I've been studying how they have it set up and who owns the churches and where the pastors come from and who they get out of there and I understand all of this stuff. I understand how it works, okay? And I understand the bottom line is not really money. The bottom line is misdirection of God's people, because
yeah.
they'll pay as much money as they can if they can misdirect God's people,
yep.
okay? They'll build the building for them. They'll give them a salary. They'll build them a $2 million house. They'll do everything for them as long as they work for the cause, which is misdirect God's people.
Yep.
And so I know that Satan is in the church business. Me and Pastor Ben just decided not to get in it. Because I was offered a couple of churches from organizations when we got started, okay? And it would have been very easy to take, but I said no. And then another group approached me and said, you know, I can't tell you who we're involved with and who the people that are part of our organization, but we help build churches, and we see you just registered your church. If you would like help in this manner, could you please contact us? And the Lord told me, burn that. So I just threw it in the trash. I was like, I'm done. Okay? Because look, everybody's not going to tell you the truth.
That's right.
Okay? I realized that there's the church. You know the guy that wrote Left Behind? Tim LaHaye? He was a pastor at a church before he wrote Left Behind. Did you know that? I thought he was just a writer. No, he was the pastor. When he wrote Left Behind, they told him, hey, we're going to replace you. And they brought in John MacArthur, a Calvinist. But this is something that we don't need to be teaching. And since you're getting famous doing this, we're headed this way. You understand? Mm-hmm. So understand this, that misdirection of God's people is the way that Satan has the church organized, okay? I'm trying to tell you the truth, okay? I'm trying to tell you what to expect. I'm trying to tell you how bad it's really going to get if you don't want God, okay?
Amen.
You don't have to have God. Nobody has to watch you. Nobody has to come to your house that make you stop sinning. You don't have to want any of this, okay? But I have to tell you, if you don't want it, see, if someone tells you, if you don't want God, hell is real and you're gonna burn. Okay, that's true, right? Okay? But now, you can't build a church telling people that. Because that's not the message I wanna go home to, right? That's like too much truth there, right? But it's the absolute truth, okay? Many times we've talked. Could you move that? Many times we've just tried to tell people the truth about certain things.
Yeah.
I went to a church that was the most dancing, shouting, drum beating church ever, right? And I had just got saved, and I was trying to figure out rather smoking weed and going to church mixed, because I knew I had to give up some things, but I was trying to hold on to a few, right? Since I've been a pastor and studying the word, I realized the word witchcraft and sorcery aren't the same thing. That witchcraft is incantation of demons, and sorcery is the use of drugs. If my pastor would have told me, you know what? God doesn't want you using drugs because they open your pineal gland and allow demons to come inside of you.
Right.
I would have knew that me smoking weed was not just a matter of doing something I wanted to do, but a matter of a spiritual battle that I had to stop smoking weed because I didn't want my pineal gland open,
right,
and I didn't want demons inside, right? So as a pastor, I'm trying to educate you like,
right,
this is how the enemy works,
right,
okay? And this is how you should work. If you want to smoke weed, now there may not be any demons in the vicinity at the time you're smoking. You'll want, hey, nothing happened. But at some time, you might be smoking weed and there's a demon in the vicinity,
yep,
and they're like, smoke one more. The pineal gland's almost open. I can get in there, and then all of a sudden you got problems that you never thought you had,
yep,
you would ever have, and it's all because of your consistency to want to smoke weed and be a Christian. And that's what I was trying to do, right? So God is trying to tell us, look, there are things going on in the world that there is a facade over your face. Remember the movie Matrix?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that red pill? Take the red pill, right? Take it, because you really want to know what's going on, right? You really want to know if your favorite music artist also worship Satan when he gets home. You want to know that because maybe he's not just making music for you to enjoy, right? So it's like little things that we have to tell each other. Like the guy told me, you can take a movie. He said, you won't let me do a satanic worship in your house, but they'll put it in a movie and then they'll rent you the movie and the satanic worship's in the movie and you go play Demons in the Horror Night in your house, right? And they do it a whole satanic ritual in the movie. Yeah. And it said, now you're like, okay, you wouldn't let me bring it in your house, so now I'll make you rent it and bring it in your house, right? So it's like little things that we don't understand that Satan is doing, that if we smarten up and start reading our word and find out that we really do have an enemy, we can help ourselves. You understand? Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. This board up here was because I was trying to show you that Satan believes that the tribulation's coming, right? Satan really believes the tribulation coming. You know what tribulation is? You guys know what tribulation is? 7 years of the world turning into complete chaos. Thank you. That's a better word than the word. Okay. Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
So it's 7 years that God is like, but I'm going to take my church out first.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my church out of the world. I'm going to take people that believe in me out of the world. And then I'm going to say, okay, Satan, you got 7 years. Do whatever you want, but I'll be back to get Israel and whoever doesn't join you. Okay? People don't even know this time is coming. And they have no idea that they're in the season that it's supposed to happen.
Yes.
They don't know. So they're doing day-to-day lives, right? And churches aren't telling you why. Because the most important thing is your tithe, right? God will bless you if you tithe. And it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you know the truth,
right,
so you can protect your life.
Right.
Because you have a soul inside of that body that has to go back to dirt.
Yeah.
God don't care about the body. God cares about the person inside of that body.
That's right.
And he's trying to give you eternal life. But if you don't want it, and why wouldn't you want it? Because Satan taught you not to want it. From a youth, I taught you not to want God, right? And since Satan has already taught you to not want God and to not have God part of your life, that the cool people over here, the ones that are smoking weed and cursing and fornicating and doing, these are the cool people. Those people over there, they're church people, they're goofy, right? And so we believe that, right? So Satan is like, he's training you to do things his way. So we put this on the board to show you, these people already purchased 30,000 guillotines. We know what guillotines are, right? Like to chop your head off. Okay, the guy that said, hey, the guy that said, hey, United States just purchased 30,000 guillotines and put them in a concentration camp in Georgia. And then he was dead. After that, it was like, you can't be telling people that. He ended up dead, right? And then they said, okay, then they built 1,400 concentration camps. I can't go into how they did that, but it was miraculous the way they were able to do it, and tell you that their immigration detention centers. All right, except they got 500,000 caskets at each one, right? And I wonder what those are for. Maybe they'll get sick, I don't know. It says, then they created this worldwide system of tracking you. And then they got this chip technology that they're planning to put in your hand or your forehead. All that's rocking and ready to go, right? And they got DNA technology inside the chip so that it changes your human DNA into a foreign DNA. So you're no longer human when you take it. So if you take it, you are completely jacked up and you're no longer qualified for salvation because you're no longer human, right?
Yeah.
They don't tell you that. I have to tell you that. Because this is my calling, right? Okay. Now, if I want to, I can say, God, I don't like this calling. I want to be a tithe guy because I want a new car and I want a TV show. I could do that, right? I'd probably be dead in like, a month because God would kill me. But in my own human will, I can disobey God because I have my own human will, right? So they built this, they got this chip. Then they created these AI robots, and they're making every movie about the AI robots, right? AI intelligence, artificial intelligence. But what is the artificial intelligence? They're building machines that can kill you without feelings, because they're getting ready for what? The 7 years of tribulation.
Yeah.
So that means Satan really believes the Bible, right? Yeah. Satan believes it. Satan's like, my 7 years is coming. I got to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
But why isn't the church getting ready? Oh, they don't believe it. Why? Because I told them that the aliens are from other planets, and they're not demons, they're aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he's playing games with your head, because we believe TV,
yeah.
Okay? They created CERN so they can open a portal for the demonic spirits to come into the physical realm, right? So they created CERN.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars to build CERN, right? They almost burnt it down once. You know how they almost burnt it down? They were trying to create the God particle.
Right.
They created, somebody told us, how many ounces, Pastor Will? He said about 8 ounces,
yeah,
of what is God's creative power to make Earth, okay? They created it because with the collider, and it almost burnt down the whole factory. And that was only, they only created like about ounces of it, right?
Yeah.
So God is not just ounces of it, God is the whole of it. So if you want to create the power that it took God to create the universe, I'll let you do it. God said, here's a little bit of it. Almost burnt the whole facility down. So they have to rebuild the facility and then reopen it and say, we're not looking for the God particle anymore. We just want to open it for the dark particles, okay? So they got smart, all right, okay? I give them credit for that, okay? And then, of course, the quantum computers, so they can communicate with demons on the physical side. They can communicate with demons on the other side. Now, that means that somebody believes that there are demons on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody believes that there's a spiritual realm, okay? Someone believes that there is a spiritual realm, or else you're not building quantum computers so you can communicate with demons.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
All of this he's doing because he hates God. And he wants to destroy you. And so there are people that tell you the truth, and there are people that play church. Okay? You can go anywhere. If you want to play church, you can go anywhere. You can shout, they'll play the drums for you. You can shout, you can run foul, you can do whatever you want. But this is not the place. All right. So let's look at what God is trying to express to us, because the future, God wants you to know the future of there's three people, maybe even we could say four. The future of the church, which is those that believe in Jesus Christ and are living and walking with him, okay, fighting against sin. You may not be perfect, but you're fighting against sin, okay? The future of the church, the future of unsaved and the nation of Israel. And I call unsaved, mean people that don't know Christ, and the nation of Israel that's going into the tribulation. And the future of the lukewarm Christian, which is almost the same as the future of the unsaved,
yep,
that's going into the tribulation, okay?
Yep.
Because you can't, I'm going to say it, you can't live and say, I'm a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Well, why? I bought this shirt. It says Lakers on it, right? Can you play basketball? No. Well, why are you saying you're a Laker?
I want a shirt.
There's some proof around, especially the last shot you took, that shows that you're not a Laker, right? Because they usually at least hit the backboard, right?
Right.
You got people that are saying, I'm a Christian. Right? I'm a Christian. But the whole behavior says opposite,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And God's like, no more than you can do the Laker thing that you can do the Christian thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just common sense. But you have people that try to do it anyway.
Right.
Because they think when they get to heaven, God will go, you got to, oh, it's a Christian t-shirt. Come on in. No, he knows you inside and out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the shirt didn't matter to him, okay? So let's look at this. So we're going to look at the future of that, the future of the lukewarm Christian, and the future of Satan, which is burning in hell for eternity for all that he's done to deceive you. So let's get started. We're going to be in the book of Romans. Ow! We're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 8. You guys know what a watchman is? You know there's a difference between a watchman and a prophet? Okay. The watchman is like, I see danger, I'm letting you know it's coming. That's what I'm doing. I see danger, I'm letting you know it's coming, right?
Yes.
I'm not going to be like a mute dog and don't bark while the burglar's breaking into place, right? Mm-hmm. I see the trouble's coming. It's time for me to tell the people, hey, we got a problem here,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So that's what I'm doing. But let's look at this word, because the answers are in the Bible, all right? Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be in verse 12. What are the first two words there, Jacqua?
Therefore, brethren.
So he's talking to, this is Paul talking, and he's talking to who?
Church.
The brethren, okay? He's not talking to you sinners. He said, therefore, brethren, sisterin, whatever, you who belong to God, right? I made that word. I did a Jesse Jackson on you. Sorry.
You're Jesse Jackson.
I make it up words. Okay. Okay. So therefore, brethren, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That word, thanatos, does not mean physical death. It means eternal death in Hades. Okay? So, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit, because when we accept Christ, what do we get?
The Spirit
of God comes inside of us and it starts a war. And it says, you know what? We can't live the way you was living anymore, Sandman. We can't smoke weed. Okay? So it says, look, we need to change some things. We can't walk around cursing people out. We can't live like that anymore. So the Spirit, and it says, but if you by the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live.
Yes.
But what if I become a Christian and I don't put to death the deeds of the body? What if I continue? If then the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to me and telling me, don't do this. And I'm like, nah, I'm trying to figure out how I could sin and still be on the Lakers.
Keep the shirt.
You understand? I'm trying to figure this out because there's things I don't want to stop doing everything. So I'm trying to figure it out. But he said, the scripture says, if I don't put to death the deeds of the body, right? If I live according to the flesh and I don't put to death the deeds of the body, it says you could die. So putting to death these things is a work that the Holy Spirit can do in your life if you allow him.
Yes.
But you don't have to allow him.
Amen.
That's called quenching the spirit. Okay?
Yes.
That's called... quenching the spirit is not, don't stop them people speaking in tongues and shouting. That's not quenching the spirit.
Right.
That's what they raised us up to, because that was goofy church.
Yeah, that was goofy church.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't squinch the spirit.
Quench the spirit is the Holy Spirit say, don't you go over there. And you go, nah, I'm going anyway, because it's going to be fun over there.
Right.
You just quench the spirit. The spirit tried to help you out. And you're like, I'm going anyway.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And then they end up shooting. And you're like, oh, my God, I shouldn't have went. The Holy Spirit told me.
Yeah.
All right. So here, let's finish reading this. I'm going to stop talking. It says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God.
You hear that?
Yes.
If you're led by the Spirit, that means the Spirit is leading you, not you. You're not leading you. You're allowing Jesus, the Savior, to be Lord. You know what Lord means, right? Kind of like master.
Right.
I'm letting Jesus tell me what to do. I'm letting God tell me what to do, okay? To do this as a Christian, you have to be a willing servant, because God is never going to take your free will.
Amen.
Never.
Never.
Never. Okay? I don't care if you're a pastor, mega, whatever. If you want to sin,
He's going to let you.
You can do it. You know why? Because God will never step in and say, I'm taking over your will. Right. You can do whatever you want. So what this scripture is trying to let us know is that we have the ability through the Spirit that God has put inside of us, because we've accepted Christ,
yes,
to stop letting the deeds of the body control our life and let the Spirit lead us. And it says, if you do, those are the sons of God. Those are the ones. It says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of sonship.
Yes.
That means we're the children of God.
Yes.
We all call Him Daddy, right?
Yes.
God is our Father. And by Him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yes. Now, listen to this. If children, then you are heirs. Heirs to what?
Kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. Do you know how many people lived on this earth before you? Billions. You know where they all are now? Eternity.
Yep.
Somewhere. I don't know where all I'm at, but they all in eternity. I was born in 61. What year were you born in? 2000. Man. You know how much stuff went on before you? You know how much stuff went on before you got here? That means you got to rewind the clock and see what Satan's doing, right? You got like, hey, let me hit rewind. I want to see what the setup is.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And there were people here before me. Okay? And you, right? I don't know about this. But
that's cool, Pastor.
There's a lot.
It's funny, but that's cool.
I see you. But look, there's a setup. But look, if you are one of God's children, you are considered heirs with Christ, okay? Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory.
Yes.
Okay? What was His suffering? Philippians tells you, He became obedient all the way to the cross.
Yes.
His suffering was obedience. If you want to share in His His suffering, you got to share in obedience, right?
Yes.
Because sometimes you want to stay. All your friends are there. You want to do because, man, she fine. But you got to like, oh, my God. I got to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And by you going home, you might miss out on what? Child support payments, right?
Yep.
So God is not only trying to tell you what to do, He's trying to tell you what to do so He can bless your life.
Dr. Bills, amen.
You understand? God is like any parent. I don't just come outside and go, get out of the street, because it makes me feel better. No, they tell you to get out of the street so you don't get hit, right? If God tells you not to do something, it's for your benefit. It's not for His.
Amen.
Okay? So when He tells you, look, don't smoke weed, don't do this, don't do that, okay? He's not your husband, but he just feel like it. He's not a Christian. He's not saved. But he quoted the scripture. Anybody can put on a Lakers jersey. You understand? Don't worry about that.
Amen.
God knows. So I want to become a part of His glory.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Do you know that Jesus is coming back to this earth after He takes us out to reign and rule for 1,000 years? And all of those that believe in Him will reign and rule with Him?
Yeah.
Why do we believe this? Because every prophecy in the Bible has come true. Yeah. The person who wrote it is proven that it's true because he makes prophecies come true.
Yes.
That's why we know it. So we're walking in confidence, right?
Amen.
Like Satan, he's walking in confidence. You think he's building all that stuff because he don't believe the Bible? He's building that stuff because he believes the Bible. Okay, let's go to Romans. The Lord wants me to read 18 to 25. Let's go to verse 18. Let's read 18. Do I need to read this again? Okay. Romans chapter 8. We're still in verse 18 there. Okay. It says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's an understatement.
That's crazy.
Your present suffering, or your present allowing God to be Lord over your life, doesn't compare to what you're going to experience in his glory for doing that. It said the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Do you know that the whole universe is waiting for the rapture and resurrection of the sons of God? Do you know that? The creation, because the creation knows that it's, I'm telling the scripture, the creation knows that it's subject to decay. But when Christ comes and takes us, that's going to be the beginning of the restoration where things don't die anymore.
Right.
You understand? So he says the whole creation is waiting for the rapture and the resurrection. Okay? Now listen. It says the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pain of a child at birth up to the present time. Not only, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit inside of us, groans inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. We are the children of God, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if you hope for what you do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Amen.
So my hope is in the scriptures, in the Jesus that has changed me, in the Jesus that has blessed my life, in the Jesus that has made all prophecies in the world come true. Okay? Because if God is already telling you about Israel and all of its history in Genesis and Deuteronomy, and it don't even come to pass till 1948, 1967, that means somebody already knows the game before we got started.
Amen.
You understand? If the Bible in Esther is already telling you about Hitler and Germany in the book of Hosea, 3,000 years before it happens, that means whoever wrote the book already knows what's coming, right? And God knows that tribulation is coming, and Satan knows from our board that tribulation is coming, right? So why shouldn't we believe God as well? And readjust things and be blessed. You understand?
Yeah.
Because I've realized something. Righteous living blesses you.
Yeah, it does.
Okay? Not only secures your future, but it blesses your present when you're living right. Okay? Now, let's go here. Let's go to Romans chapter 11.
Shalom from Scotland and from Germany.
Scotland and Germany. Shalom. Elohim Tov. All right. Romans chapter 11, and we're going to be in verse 11. Now watch this. Okay, watch. I want to tell you guys something first. I'm watching this thing, and this child, see, I used to think, because we watch TV, like, you want to adopt a kid, you just go to the orphanage, and you pick one out, and then they give it to you, and you walk out, and he goes, yay, I got adopted. That's not the process. I was watching this documentary showed me the process, right? They go and they talk to the kids, and then they find, okay, This is the one we want to adopt. The kid knows, hey, I'm getting adopted. Excellent, right? Now, all the paperwork and everything gets started. They got to investigate your home. They got to, all this stuff starts, right? So the child is still waiting there. He knows he's been adopted, but he don't get to go yet.
Right.
So his hope is what? When is my parent coming to get me? All of us have been adopted by God. But some things are getting taken care of first. But we eagerly await what? The redemption of our bodies. We eagerly await the rapture. Why? Because we know we've been adopted and we're happy about that. But when is my parent coming to take me home so I can meet all my other brothers and sisters? Right? Because when they took him, when they took the kid, he got to meet his sister and his two brothers and the dog, and he was just gloriously happy, right? And I'm like, God, that's us right there, right? We have been adopted, but we're waiting for the parent to come back and take us home, all right? And at that time, we'll get to meet everybody.
Amen.
So praise God.
Amen.
So in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, it's letting you know that the guy that adopted you already had some children, okay? He had some children before he, who was his children? Israel, okay? So you've been engrafted in, but you need to ask, what happened to the other children? What happened to the other kids? Why isn't Israel in the house, right? That's important to know, okay? And as we read this, we'll find out. So it says, again, I asked, did they stumble? Did the Jews stumble so far beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgressions mean riches for the world and their loss riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? So God has not forgotten about the Jews and Israel, but he's saying for right now, because of their disobedience, he's dealing with us, the Gentile nation. He's adopting us as we accept Christ.
Yes.
And it says, I am talking to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, I'm explaining what he's saying. We are Gentiles. Our root, you know Jesus is Jewish, right?
Yes.
Okay. Our root is Jewish. But the Jews are the one who orchestrated the death of Christ. Why did they do that? Because God orchestrated them to do that, right? Because God said, I'm going to appear in the flesh myself, and I have to be a sacrificial offering for your sin. You know why? Because sin costs. So you people sinning and they don't realize that stuff costs money.
Yeah.
That's expensive stuff. You can't just sin because somebody's got to pay the price for that, right?
Right.
So God has a plan. Like, I'm going to come and I'm going to pay for all your sins. Okay? Everything's going to be paid for. Okay? Now, there's some people like, I don't want my sins paid for. I better pay for it myself. Okay, we got a place for you to pay for your own sins.
Yes.
All right? It's a little hot there, but you pay it off there.
Right.
But the people who want me, I'm going to pay for your sins and bring you into my glory. Okay? That's what we want. Okay? So understand what's going on here. God is saying he had his own people separated from him to graft you in to be his own people. We're going to learn something here. Hold up. It says in verse 17, if some of the branches have been broken off, which is Israel, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nurturing sap of the olive root, do not boast over those branches. Okay? So Israel's been cut off, yes, and you've been grafted in. Now, you know you can do that with an olive tree, right? You can take a branch from any tree and graft it into an olive tree, and the sap from the olive tree will connect to that branch and produce olives. As if that's the plant, right? And that's what God has done to us. Even though we're not the original branches, God grafted us into himself, and we're producing fruit as if we were really from Israel. And look at what God's doing. Okay, but God said, don't boast over that. Don't say, because I get tired of people going, well, you know, the Jews killed Jesus. I was like, yeah, and I've already thanked them very much. I have thanked them. I went to the synagogue and I thanked them. Because I want them to know that if you didn't say crucify him, I would still be in my sins.
Yeah.
Okay, I would still be jacked up. Okay, but since you did crucify him, his blood was able to pay for all my sins. And for that, he also gave me a spirit, which has transferred my sinful flesh into an obedient flesh. And I'm on my way to glory. So I really want to thank you for what you did. I'm not hating on the Jews.
Amen.
God set that up. Okay, amen. Now watch this. Let's continue. It says, do not boast over these branches. It says in verse 18, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, yes, okay? But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Hmm. Wait a minute. No. Once I'm saved, I'm always saved. What you mean if he cut off the other branches for being disobedient, he'll cut me off too? Hmm. Now I want to give you the example. God had children and they were disobedient. He kicked them out of the house and adopted you.
Right.
So now you think you're going to come in the house and be disobedient? And God going to go, well, my original kids that who I birthed into the world and I loved were disobedient and I kicked them out. And you're not even a real kid. I adopted you and now you're doing the same thing. So what do you think going to happen to you? Okay. This is what God is trying to bring common sense to people who teach once saved, always saved.
Right.
You're grafted in, and you're not grafted in to be disobedient. You're grafted in to be obedient,
yeah,
so that you can gain the glory that God wants you to have.
Yes.
Now, I know it's a fight. I told you, right? It's a fight. I went almost a whole year trying to look for scripture that told me I could smoke weed. I was like the burning bush. I was doing everything. Like, Lord, I know you don't mean that. Right? God created the plants. I did everything, right? Right here, third day, he created all the plants and he did it for man. So I'm one of the men. I was studying because I wanted to continue, right? God had to, like, no. The Holy Spirit had to change. So look, I know it's hard, but the Spirit of God lives inside of you and he can change you.
Yes.
If you allow him to, okay?
Yes.
And allowing him to change you will gain you eternal life.
Amen. Good word.
Amen. Okay. It says in verse 22, consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Wow. God keeps saying, like, okay, you got this, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Wow. None of this sounds like once saved, always saved. If they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to the nature were grafted into and cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will those, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So God has plans to still go back and rescue Israel.
10 minutes.
Okay? Beautiful. Okay, then we're going to continue. If you want to find out where God put a blinder on Israel, it's in Isaiah 6, verse 8 through 10. Okay? So let's go to Titus, because Pastor Ben said we almost out of here. We got 10 minutes, and I want to touch on this. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to wait till you guys get there, so please say amen when you get there, because I want us to all read this together.
Need some water?
Yes. I got one right behind me. All right. You guys got it?
Amen.
Okay. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. The Holy Spirit does this, okay? let me finish reading this. It says, I'm going to read 12 again. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God, and are his very own, eager to do what is right.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God gave us his spirit to do what? So you have self-control. I didn't have no self-control before the Holy Spirit came in.
Amen to that.
You know, before you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are a slave to sin.
Yeah.
You do whatever your body tells you. Okay. Whatever Satan suggests. We just did it. Before I would say, I could curse people out, smoke weed, sleep with girls that I barely knew, go home, sleep well, get up and do it the next day. Right? On my way to a burning hell. I was like, on my way. I was like moving fast, right? And a guy told me about Jesus Christ. Hey, man, come to church with me. Come to church with me, man. Nah, man, come to church with you guys. Come on, man. I was young, man. I'm like, dude, I ain't going to church. My mama made me go to church. See, I ain't got to go no more. I ain't going with you. Went to church. I met Jesus. 17 years old. I'm like, wow. Changed my whole life. Broke up with my girlfriend. I'm like, God, why do I have to, Lord? Yes. Broke up with my girl. I'm like, this is the beginning of me blessing your life and changing you so you don't end up like everybody else. I got self-control, okay? God had to teach me self-control. All of this comes, why? Because God wants to be a part of your life. He wants to come inside of you, right? First, you have to repent, okay? I repented. I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And then this process of change began, right? All of a sudden, I didn't feel comfortable cursing. All of a sudden, I didn't feel comfortable. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me be comfortable smoking weed. Everything became uncomfortable. Now there's this battle going on between my flesh and my spirit, and I've got to figure out who's going to win, right? And it's up to me who gets the win. So now I got to let the Holy Spirit control me and tell me what to do so that I can now begin a blessed life.
Yeah.
Because the other way was sending me not only to hell, but a unblessed life. Because that behavior, jail time, child support payments, more jail time, drunk, high. I mean, it was, I was just lost. And I'm just,
And then Jesus comes in and is like, okay, I'm putting this down, putting this down, putting this down, putting this down, putting this down. Oh my goodness, I'm getting a scholarship. I'm doing better in my grades. I'm playing football. Oh my God, things are going good. I'm blessed. Oh my God, people want to give me jobs. I'm like, I got my own money. I'm like, I'm not spending my money on weed, so I got extra money. I'm so blessed because what? Deuteronomy 28 tells us what? If you lived in obedience, I will bless you. Yeah. If you live in disobedience, cursing will follow you and will take over. Nobody told me that before. I wish a pastor, when he was doing all that shouting and running around, would have just pulled me aside and said, man, I see some of the stuff you're doing. You can't live like that and have a blessed life. You either headed to jail or death. He could have told me that, but they was too busy shouting and collecting tithes. Which is why I'm still kind of a little mad, so pray for my forgiveness, Jaguar. So anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is we are in a season that the event could happen. We're in the harvest season.
Yes.
After the 6,000th year, after the 120th Jubilee, after Israel's 70th birthday, we are in the harvest season of the wheat, which is the harvest season of the church. So this event is scheduled to happen in the earth. Satan knows it's scheduled to happen in the earth, okay? When we watched that superhero movie, what freaked me out was they had this place where they went and there was names on the wall of people that had already disappeared.
Mm.
So I'm like, whoever making all of these movies, they know something's happening. It said the list of all the names of the people who disappeared. I was like, oh, they know. These demons know that something's about to happen, right? It's okay that they know, but why don't we know?
Right.
You know why we don't know? And Jesus, and that's why we don't know. That's why we don't know. Because we letting people play church with us. And how can we get our people to stop playing church? How are we going to let gangster rappers come in and give a word? Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there inviting these people to their churches to talk and all this stuff. I can't do anything to even help our own people because we're so deep into deception that we can't see Jesus or the rapture coming.
Amen.
Okay? So anyway, I'm done. I can't wait to meet Jesus. Go to a cloud party, go to a banquet, go to a crowning ceremony, be escorted to my mansion. And then who knows, sky's the limit after that, right?
Tell them no Bible study.
Yeah, they know no Bible study on Wednesday and no Hebrew on Thursday. But that's it. That's my message. I hope you heard it. I hope you understand. I hope you understand that your life is in your hand because you have the will to accept Christ or reject him. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right.